Special coverage from the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference is brought to you by Victoria Gold Corp.
Welcome back to SOAR Financially. Welcome to the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. My name is Kai Hoff, and I'm the JR Mining Guy on Twitter and the CEO of the SOAR Financial Group. And we're here in Vancouver at the Resource Conference, as I mentioned, and I'm joined by E.B. Tucker. E.B., first time guest on the program. Really excited to have you on. You're an accomplished author, market commentator, watch a lot of your interviews, I have to admit, online as well. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. How are you? How'd you start the year off?
Pretty good. No complaints. Glad to be alive.
Glad to be alive. Good point. Good point. E.B., first time on the channel. I like starting usually off with a bit of a generic question, which is, how's the economy? What's the state of the market?
The market's doing better than the economy, so that's just always a problem, right? S&P at a new high, and people are pretty optimistic. I think it's definitely, when people are optimistic, it's time to be a little concerned and kind of be looking around and saying, can anything fall in my head? It's kind of like when you live somewhere that has snow, you don't want to walk too close to buildings, something might fall on your head. And that's kind of how I feel right now. And I think people, it's time to be patient, be ready, have kids, kind of like the pantry stocked.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get a chance this year to take some serious action. I mean, everybody's like always wants to have something big that they do, but remember, $3 Bank of America, $2 A&D. I mean, like, you know, these are the things that come around when there's a problem. And I think that the Fed's ready. They're getting ready, to execute. And we can talk about that in a minute, because there's something to watch to see when. But I think people need to wait for real opportunity, and that's the trend.
Yeah. Let's talk about the temperature rising in the kettle, the boiling kettle, a little bit, because it feels like it's been boiling for a while now, and actually ever since 2013 or 2012, sure. I think, when it was like, you felt like, okay, this is happening, and free money was being tossed around, more or less. Interest rates were low.
They went too much, though. I mean, what happened was in the flu panic, they went too much money. Yeah, too much money, $9 trillion on the balance sheet. Now they're back at 7.5. Nobody, we're writing about that in the newsletter at eptucker.com. We're writing about the actual pile of money is coming down. People don't really know how to watch that. The problem is the Fed employs a lot of PR tactics, and so they keep you in a spin cycle, and I call it Disney bat, where you spin around on the bat and you can't walk. And it's very confusing. So we want to eliminate the confusion. And what we want to do is we want to say, where's the sink going? When's it going to happen? And how can I be ready? It's actually not as complicated as you think.
Run us through some of the factors that are increasing the temperature right now. You mentioned Fed, of course, but...
So Fed's a big one, because what's happening is nothing to do with the interest rate. Where they fix the rate is totally irrelevant. What's happening is they got this big pile of money. It's called the repo market. And they're shrinking this. The repo market was $2.2 trillion. It's $600 billion. So it's shrinking exactly at the pace of the balance sheet.
Stop.
And so they match one for one. And they got to get that down to zero to be ready for the next crisis. It's coming down at $90 billion a month. So, I think by the summer, they're done with that. And so I'm kind of saying to people, look, this all lines up, because gold is at an all-time high sitting. Bitcoin looks great. I mean, I think it's really hard for people to understand. Chart of Bitcoin looks great. I have in the newsletter last week. People are pretty hostile about Bitcoin. It's very strange.
It's really black and white, isn't it?
Really strange. I mean, the people are so upset. I mean, some guy in the newsletter sent a quote about Oliver Cromwell, and I'm like, what does, 17th century British history had to do with, I can't figure it out. But anyway, but the point is, it gets people talking, and I think people, you can slow down, and it's not really so complicated.
Yeah.
It's coming the center.
So what you're mentioning, all is leading to something breaking, right?
Yeah, so you pull, what happens is, and I've got this pool guy that explained to me that if the water goes too low in the pool, the sides crack, because they need pressure to keep everything.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay,
so
I get that analogy.
This guy is genius. So this is what the Fed's trying to do. So it's the same thing. They're trying to get this money out before so much money comes out that something breaks. And then when something breaks, they're going to be ready to come in and go. And so that's what we're watching, and that's coming. Now, when that's coming, there's nothing. I don't think there's a trend on that event, because if you notice during March 2020, it was 3 weeks. But you can't trade that. It's just impossible. You want to trade the upswing. After the 3 week panic, when it turned up, you had a strong year and a half. You could play with that. And that's what we're going to have again.
Okay.
It's coming. So,
were you surprised how clear Powell was in December about the dovishness and cutting rates three times? He was extremely clear, in my opinion. So I'm curious.
What's funny is he was clear, but not really, because it's all showmanship and grandstanding. And because then the next week they'll come out and say, well, Rafael Bostic says maybe maybe only one or whatever.
Maybe we'll raise again.
Maybe, we don't know. And then the Cleveland Fed comes out and says maybe this, but if you're not, I think I might be significantly older than you. Back in the day, you never knew any of the Fed governors. No. You never knew any of these people. Like, these guys are like celebrities now, and ladies. I mean, like, they come out, and every single week there's a new press event. I have a Bloomberg terminal. I can tell you it flashes red when there's a headline or a Fed person. And what I do is I have to write them down, because what you see is that they're keeping us in this state of confusion.
Like, Powell says one thing, and the next day somebody backpedals.
That's right. And so what it is like, if I disorient you, like pin the tail of the donkey or something, you have no idea what's going on. And they want to keep us disoriented.
Oh.
And so we want to try to not be disoriented, and it's much easier to figure out where things are headed.
Do you think the market is smarter than the Fed? Meaning,
no.
Like, the Fed says three, market says six.
No.
So I'm curious.
The problem is that the reason the gold business is so small, right? So the financial world is massive.
Yeah.
And people have no idea about this stuff because they've become obsessed with playing casino slots, which it's like nobody even buys stocks anymore in the fund management business. What they do is they buy derivatives that give them notional exposure to stocks. And so you're just constantly gambling back and forth on secondary outcomes off these stocks or whatever's hot. And that's why a company like Nimbot is the same value as Hershey's candy, right? So it's because nobody's in this world that we're in here talking about this stuff, and meanwhile you got a tech company that doesn't have revenue or something. This is a gargantuan valuation, and so the market has become fixated on pulling as much money out as possible, like, and so it's not focused on what's actually happening. It's actually, the scheme is really smart. I mean, you got to give it to these guys. They've been able to really keep this thing afloat.
No,
and everybody here, oh yeah, the dollar's in 5 cents, maybe, I don't know, but it's so far so good with the scheme. I've got to admit.
Absolutely. Let's talk U.S. dollar since you touched on it. Like, what's your point of view on that? Like, still the strongest currency
in
the world.
It's the strongest. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, everybody was calling for it to be 75, and it was, 105 was the right call, right? So, I mean, I think it's really hard to trade these currencies. They've got them pretty organized where I was in Japan last summer. The yen was ultra cheap, and, then it came up and got cheaper. It's really... I think it's so hard to trade these things. And maybe there's no point, because maybe they're so coordinated. I mean, if you're running one bank and I'm running the other, where obviously we got like hundreds of PhD people sitting on Bluefords watching everything. Yeah. I mean, maybe we are so coordinated that there's not even any sort of benefit any.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be fun to travel to currencies and buy things. You know, like if you went to Switzerland and the franc was cheap, pick up some watches, whatever. But they got all that figured out now. It's like, it's almost too hard to benefit.
Well, digital world, right?
Yeah,
it's easy to track, and information flow is much faster.
It's easier, by the way. I mean, I'm telling you, you're going to look back at 2023, and you're going to say, we didn't know how free we were. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, and I try to tell people, go live now. This is the time. You can leave your phone in the hotel and go do something fun with your wife or your kids or whatever. And people don't do it. They're like, I got to keep the Facebook feed on. But it's like, you're going to look back and you're going to think, we had it so good back then.
So what do you think is going to change that? So when you say, okay, because one of your presentation titles is Life in 2030, right?
Yeah,
so
what
is changing in the next 6 years?
That's good, because I think you're going to have a cyber panic. And then to get back on the grid, you're going to have to agree to these onerous terms of privacy intrusion. And you're going to give all that stuff up. And we saw that, during the COVID situation. People definitely will go for it. And so I think by 2030, you're using FedCoin.
Yep.
And you're interacting with the world through the FedCoin wallet. And websites are only deemed safe if they have like a .safe extension or whatever. You can see how this come together.
Yep.
And you facilitate that by a mass cyber blackout and having people agree to opt back in, which they will do. And so I think people have a hard time conceptualizing that. And say what you want about individual liberty, but that's out the window a long time ago. And so when you're interacting through the FedCoin wallet, everything is then, all your taxing, all your spending, all your carbon consumption is all monitored through one central network. That's where we're headed. So between now and there, we can make some money. We can also have a lot of fun. I mean, think about it. So you got to live now. I mean, we don't know how long we'll make it, right? So, I mean, let's enjoy and let's keep our mind open. And then let's try to prepare the best we can by understanding what's coming, but let's not really worry about it.
6 years. What? Any particular reason you chose 2030?
For some bizarre reason, things tend to run in these 8 to 10 year cycles. I mean, if we look back at the crisis events that we've been having, there's about a 8 to 10 year gap between them. So it's a guess.
No.
It's a guess, but I think it's a pretty good guess.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk gold. We need to talk about gold.
Do we have to?
Resource conference. Yeah. We have to.
Let's indulge.
Yeah. Gold is an investment, of course. And let's talk about the price of gold as well and how it's developed. Is it just purely geopolitics driving it?
No. There's a guy that I'm friends with that was the head of global commodity trading for one of the big banks. And I took him on a trip last year and, I mean, spent days hanging out. And I'm telling you, it's like the perspective is unbelievable. That you've never even seen gold before. You know, it's like what you find is that the gold market is so financialized that half the annual production turns over in a day, and none of that ever touches an ounce of gold. And people say it's manipulated. It's not manipulated. It's financialized, and there's a big difference. And so you have futures, you have options on the futures, you have derivatives, you have hedging. It's just so complicated, convoluted, that we're a long way away from holding an ounce. And I think you have a choice to make. First of all, I'm going to be on the panel later. I'll spoil it. I think 2150 this year is where we go. You know, it's quite a big increase. I mean, it's about $1 trillion of valuation increase. It's very big. I mean, Bitcoin's only $1 trillion now. Yeah. So, I mean, imagine if you add $1 trillion of Bitcoin, it'd be 100 grand. So I think it's 2150. That's going to be our new range for a little while. I don't see it breaking loose. Too many people playing on each side of it. It's too lucrative. Like every single day when that moves, like when that Asian market opened in December and shot up to a new high, if you watch the action, you know, you had basically futures in the spot, you know, went backwards. It was very, very odd. People immediately jumped in and capitalized on that. And it kind of like returned to normal. We're holding in that range. So 2150 is where it's going to go. If you're a person, a regular person, you have a choice to make. Number one, you can put some money in gold and put it away. I mean, I looked back. I bought a kilo bar last year. I looked back at the price. It's like 6% higher now. So, I mean, you think about it, that's about right. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, keep it happening like that. But if you don't want to do that, if you say, well, I need more action.
No.
Okay. Then you could trade these. The daily moves are really big. Like you have a 1% move. If you're trading futures on that, you can make tons of money. The problem is, if you do that, is that you really detach yourself from why you should have it to
pay. Exactly.
And so you have to make a choice. You know, do I want to play it that way or do I want to play it this way? And I think the way I like to play it is by having the physical gold, because I feel like really great about it. I mean, I was tell people in my book, why gold, why now, is buying like a coin a month, you know, when I was like pretty poor. I mean, it was $400 an ounce,
yeah,
which was a lot of money back then. But it kind of is always about the same amount of money, right?
Yeah.
Like nowadays, it's, you know, $2,100 for an Eagle or whatever. It's like, dude, it feels about the same as $400.
Yeah.
So it kind of stays.
Yeah.
Look, it's like, it's a savings mechanism. So it's a way for individuals.
I'm surprised you actually said you looked at the price of gold and said, okay, it's up 6%. And you even looked at the value of a dollar, like of your kilo bar. Because that should be irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. I pure curiosity. I mean, I kind of thought like maybe I'm going to get another one. You know, so I'm like, you know, I just kind of like look back and say like, I remember at the time I was thinking, seems like a good price.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I think it's good sometimes to look back, and I keep a lot of notes. Like a lot of people ask me about how I do all this. I have these Japanese notepads because I'm enamored with all things Japanese, and I write down like what I thought. Like I write down, I thought it was a good price, and then I look back.
No.
And it tests my thinking. Was it a good price?
Okay.
I mean, you only got to be right, by the way, like 60% of the time in your life. You're going to be super rich. I mean, the rest is about risk control.
Yeah.
I think people don't understand that. Like, the secret, you know, is controlling risk. You know, because you can't buy 1,000.
No.
Nobody buys stuff.
No.
But you buy 600, man, they're going to
you're killing it.
On the whole thing. Yeah, you're going to be, you know,
absolutely.
All the awards. Anyway.
Let's talk about a little bit more about the price drivers for gold this year. And what do you expect to push the price to 2150, as you said?
Okay.
I want to summarize that a little bit.
Okay. I want to make this easy. Real, because it's like, they tend to get like, think it's complicated. It's not. The Fed's pulling $90 billion a month out of the market right now. You can see it, the repo rate. And you would think that what that would be doing, I mean, it's draining Granville Street. Granville Street was flooded, you know, it's no longer. And you would think that would be bad for things like gold and things like Bitcoin. It's not. If you look, the chart of both of those things are great. I mean, Bitcoin is not as financialized as gold, right? It doesn't have the same structure yet of futures and options and gambling that's attached to gold. I say gambling, it's not like gambling. It's like there's a certain art to making money in the options market. And like that puts lots of capital. People are hedging, all this stuff. So what I think is happening is gold and Bitcoin both are telling us that we're already on to the Fed. The draining is going to stop by June.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be something that's going to break. And they're going to come back with another acronym for us, like make up jumbled letters and whatever. That'll be the new program. And then the gold price and the Bitcoin price will reflect that right away. And so that's the price driver. I mean, everybody says, oh, is it central banks? Not really. I mean, 1,100 tons last year or something, it's a lot of gold. I mean, it's like, about a third of the supply or something. Certainly material, right?
Yeah.
And obviously it's more than most of the years. But I wouldn't say that it's like the most important thing. I mean, a lot of times the most important thing is the price action.
Yeah.
Like you look at the chart, it's like, this is the most important thing. What does the chart tell you? You know, the chart tells you you're in a new high, you're going to stay at a new high, and you have every reason. You have real rates, behaving in a way that you would think it's going to be bad. Everything that's happening, you would think it's going to be bad. It's not.
No. $2,000 is a new floor. I've been hearing quite a few times now.
Definitely. So. 2150 is your new zone. So you can get in the zone and you get 1% up, down, it'll drive you crazy. I mean, if you're an options trader, it'll make you rich. But if you're a regular person trying to play with it, it's going to make you go mad. And I recommend not doing it, because if you look, they disorient you, and then it's up at 2150, you missed it.
Yeah.
So I think you just want to, you want to own it, and you want to own it slowly, and you want to own it comfortably.
Gotcha. Let's talk inflation real quick as well. I had a couple conversations over the last 10 days here as well about inflation fears coming back. I don't know.
I think the people that are worried about inflation are people that are not very financially tuned in. Like, they're worried about their grocery bill. It's like, look, your grocery bill is going up, right? Period. I mean, 10 years from now, 2030, you're going to go there. You're not going to buy any meat 2030. There's too much methane produced to make meat for you.
I need a freezer.
Exactly. So there'll be waste. There'll be regenerative ag and all that stuff. But my point is, your grocery bill is going up. Don't worry about it. Things are slowing down in the sense, I got some doors for my house for an addition that we did. It's like a year wait. Now it's like 3 months wait. See how it goes? The price is coming down. The price is not going to go lower than before, right? But it's going to go back to just a little bit above. Inflation is, the pace of inflation, it's just forget about it. It's coming way down. If you look at the charts, that's how the Fed charts it. The Fed doesn't care about inflation. All they care about is not being out of control so that you're throwing rocks at the courthouse. I mean, that's what they want to avoid. Otherwise, nobody cares about that. So people that are hung up on it, it's not true. I mean, gas in Florida is $3.50 a gallon or something. It's really cheap. You can have as much of it as you want. So the demand and slack equation is coming back in line, and that's what people need to watch. So if people start telling you about how this is big ruse for inflation, forget about it. There's more important things. More important means if we get the big trade right, we can buy avocados forever. We can have our own account. You got to get the big trade right. Don't worry about the checkout line. It's about feeling this thing out, watching what's going on, and nailing it. And then, spend. Someone was asking me about what's spending or something. And I was like, look, I don't even look at it, because
you're passing.
It's like you can't get rich on coupons. You just can't do it. It's kind of like getting rich by, I have a bunch of brokers here, super expensive. People are like, why would you use that? Look, you can't get rich saving on brokerage commission.
Exactly.
If you get the right trade.
Or the right deal introduction.
Exactly. They're going to get you at every turn, right? I had a private deal I was offered the other day for ChatGPT. It's like they manage it, they charge a fee, then it's a million fees. Guess what? It'll make money.
Yeah.
It'll make money. If people are like, the fees are going to kill you. It's just the way it goes in life. You got to be in the right trade. It's the right trade is way more important. Yeah. So, get this big picture right and you buy all the beefy.
Yeah. Absolutely. One last big picture question is recession. What kind of camp are you in? Is it the soft landing camp, hard landing, or no landing camp?
You're already in it. Yeah, a lot of people are struggling. Yeah, and I think they're gonna continue to struggle. And a lot of the big people, the real estate people in the U.S., you see what happens to real estate agents in Vancouver 1 year of high rates. I'm like, you guys should be in the gold business. You got 10 years of recession, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 1 year, these people are panicking and no more French manicures and, got to cut back on massages and stuff. But this stuff's already happening. You're having a little relief right now and they'll crank it back in. But the things are slowing down because without new flows of credit, the system doesn't work.
Yeah. Rolling recession was a big term used over the last 12 months as well. Would you subscribe to that? Because it's sort of what you just described a little bit.
Yeah, it's similar is that you're not really in a capitalist system. You had recessions in the 70s and 80s. It was you're not really in a system now where you have expansion and contraction the same way we used to. It doesn't work that way. The Fed was never back in those days. Fed wasn't like managing every single part of the system, yeah. right? I mean, it was like you had a recession, you went out of business, the bank came in, and the bank is not private credit. Yeah. It's like that's the
well, everybody
power.
Gets saved these days, right?
So then then private credit world, basically, yeah. right? Private equity world, but like that's just it's the bank is like. Have you been to a bank recently? I mean, it's like going to like a place to get a money order or something. It's like it's bizarre. I mean, I'm like, what are they even doing there?
Yeah.
Strange.
Reminds me, I need to go to the bank actually later today.
I like the bank.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I
need
like,
a debit card.
I like the bank. My granddad was banking, and I went to the bank as a kid, and I always liked the bank. I also liked money, you know, as a kid. But like kids today, they're like, why would you go to the bank? Why would you need money? You have your phone.
Sure. Yeah. Still need a debit card. It expired. At least I need the numbers. I don't need the physical card.
You never get hurt having a bunch of cash and a bunch of cards and a bunch of gold and a bunch of Bitcoin and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not even a stuff guy. I'm a minimalist. But I'm like, look, I don't have a lot of things. But like, having a bunch of options of how to pay for stuff, never really a bad idea.
Exactly. Yeah. EB, where can we find more of you? Fantastic conversation, by the way.
EBTucker.com. People are crazy if you're not at EBTucker.com. You can read the Tucker Letter for free. It's every other week. I don't bother you with any ads, nothing. It's me writing every 2 weeks. EBTucker.com.
Fantastic.
Please join me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for stopping by here.
Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Awesome. Okay. Appreciate it.
Right.
Everybody else, thanks so much for tuning in to SOAR Financially here from the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. If you haven't done so, hit that subscribe button. And of course, let us know what you think. How are you preparing for the next move up? And let us know what you think. Please engage with us down below. And we'll be back with lots more here from Vancouver. Thanks so much.